Presentation Skills for Design Students with Christina Canters, Episode 24.
Hello and welcome to Presentation Skills for Design Students, the podcast dedicated to helping design students everywhere become confident, creative communicators. My name's Christina Canters, and I'm here to help you speak with confidence, create compelling presentations, and communicate your ideas like a Toastmaster world champion. So get ready to take your next presentation to a whole new level. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today. Now, you may be wondering, who was that doing the intro? No, I haven't hired a professional to do voiceovers for me. What you heard was actually the lovely voice of my very special guest this week, the very inspiring Karen Jacobson, also known as the GPS Girl over at thegpsgirl.com. Now, we're going to be talking all about how to overcome anxiety. But before we dive into the interview, I just want to quickly share with you an experience I had this week, because it does tie in nicely to this topic of managing your anxiety and nerves. Now, on Sunday night, I performed at an open mic night at the Greenwich Village Comedy Club here in New York. Yes, I did my very first stand-up gig, and this is something I had never considered doing before, ever, and it's something that completely terrified me. But I had a bit of encouragement from a woman who I just met that day. Her name was Helene, and she said, come along to this night, you'll be great. It's just all comics there. They're very supportive. And I thought, you know what, maybe I can do this. And maybe I can just, if I just share the funny stories of things that happened to me in New York, you know, I thought, you know, why not? And instead of viewing the situation as something where, as a situation where I was going to be completely humiliated, I turned it into excitement. And I thought, you know, this is a really exciting opportunity for me to share my stories and experiences with people. And, you know, I don't even know these people, so it doesn't even matter. And it's New York. I'm anonymous. No one knows who I am. So I managed to do that, overcome my fear and get up there and talk for about 4 minutes on this little stage in this dark room in front of about, I'd say it was about 20 people, 25 people. So yes, it was really scary, but I managed to overcome that fear. And to do that, I used some of the techniques that Karen mentions in the interview, so I know for a fact that it works. If you would like to learn more and read the full story about my very first experience doing stand-up comedy, I actually blogged about it. You can go to designdrawspeak.com/standup. To read that blog post there, and hopefully it may inspire you to do something that scares you just a little bit. So let's jump into the interview. Karen Jacobson is a successful singer-songwriter, speaker, coach, and voiceover artist. Originally from a small town in Australia, she moved to America in the year 2000 to pursue her dreams. I already find that really inspiring. What you may be surprised to learn, though, is that you probably already know her. Check this out. She is the GPS girl, as in the actual voice in tens of millions of GPS units all around the world, helping people reach their destinations. Now, what I love about Karen is now she helps people recalculate their own journeys through life and helps them figure out their goals or their life destinations. Good, huh? She does that over at thegpsgirl.com. Now, just as a bit of a random side note, iPhone users, you may like this. I also discovered that Karen is Australian Siri. When I learned that, I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. Anyway, I met her here in New York at a National Speakers Association event. And as I got to know her, I was surprised to discover that she actually used to suffer from severe anxiety as a child, and she struggled with it well into her adult life as well. So I'm super excited to have her on the show to share with you how she overcame this anxiety that was really holding her back, and how you can too. I know you're going to love this interview, so let's get to it. Please welcome the GPS girl, Karen. Karen Jacobson. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for being my guest today.
It is my pleasure.
And thanks for doing that little intro at the start. I love that. It's so cool having my own little intro. Anyway, look, you're a successful singer-songwriter, speaker, coach and voiceover artist, which is just super impressive in itself. But what many people may not realize is that they already know you as you're the GPS girl, as in the actual voice in tens of millions of GPS units all around the world, telling people what to do and where to go. I just think that is so, so cool. Would you be willing to share with us just how did you land that gig?
Well, I am originally from Mackay in North Queensland in Australia. I always wanted to live in New York. Sorry, I always wanted to live in America. And eventually, at the age of 30, I moved to New York City, and that was in the year 2000. And I've been, you know, creating a life here ever since. And when I first came over here, I was performing and writing, singing and, you know, playing piano, writing songs. But what I had done for many years in Australia was voiceover work. And I started to do voiceover work here and I went to an audition and they were looking for a native Australian female voiceover artist living in the northeast of the United States, which was very specific.
Yes.
When I read that brief, I just thought that is a description of me. This is my job. And I went to the audition, I got the job and ended up recording for almost 50 hours to create a voice system that has ended up in a lot of GPSs and smartphones around the world.
That's just so cool. That's really, really exciting. What was your favorite part of doing that?
That's a great question. You know, I met a great group of people. They took me to a town in upstate New York and I was there for 3 weeks. They put me in a hotel. I recorded from 9 till 1 every day. And then I had the rest of the day off. So I think it was just a really enjoyable experience all round because I, you know, and we're going back a few years before we were as connected as we are now on our, you know, with email on our mobile phones, etc. So I really enjoyed it. I wrote songs in the afternoon. Every day after we would finish, I would go somewhere great for lunch. I just remember it as being a great experience all around.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a once in a lifetime thing as well to land a job like that. So that's really, really cool.
Which I didn't know at the time. At the time it was like, well, this is a big job and this is an adventure. But yes, now looking back, it was a once in a lifetime kind of job.
With all my interview guests on the podcast, I like to ask them about the two things. Now, have you heard of the two things before?
I have not.
You have not. Okay. Well, it's based on the idea that any topic or subject can be distilled down to just two things that you need to know. And everything else about that topic, it's either an application of those two things or it's just not important. So I find this is a great way to really extract what's important about something. So one example that I found online are the two things about parenting. Number one, there's no such thing as too much affection. And number two, it's not so much what you say as it is what you do.
Wow.
So whether or not you agree with that, those are two ways that you can, well, those are two potential things that you could say about parenting. Now, what I'd like to ask you, Karen, is what are your two things about hearing your own voice?
My two things about hearing my own voice.
Yes. And I ask this because I know a lot of people struggle with this. And because I say to a lot of people, you know, if you want to do well at presenting and get better at speaking, it really helps if you can record yourself and listen back. And so many people say to me, I just hate the sound of my own voice. And I just really, it's really confronting and I really struggle with, I just hate it. I can't do it. And this is something that I struggled with. So for you as a professional voiceover artist who has to hear a voice over and over and over again, what are the two things that that you can extract from that that could potentially help people who are struggling with this?
Right. And I do remember back to when I had not yet done voiceover work, and I was, because I'd done voiceover since I was 21. So I remember in my late teens having an answering machine and having my voice on the answering machine message and hating the sound of my own voice. So even though I'm now completely comfortable with it, I do remember that. So I would say, I can think of the first one is, it is rule number one to allow your, to let go of all of that noise and all of those reactions we have about hating the sound of our own voice. There is absolute magic and success on the other side of that. It is such a huge piece to be willing to let go of our own judgments of ourselves around the sound of our own voice. If you can let go of that judgment and be with it,
yeah,
I think it's a very big parallel to being okay with ourselves in general and being accepting of ourselves in general. So I think it can really symbolize that.
Yeah.
So that would be one, is to be willing to let go of our judgments of ourselves and to consider that we could actually be accepting and peaceful with how our voice sounds, even if we're not exactly, but just to practice that. So that's one, or is that two?
That's one.
Yeah. And it only gets easier is number two.
I like that.
Once you're willing to do that, as uncomfortable and blooming horrible as it feels and seems and sounds to us, if you are willing, I promise you, it only gets easier the more you do that. The more you give up your resistance to that. And you're brilliant, because this is such an insightful question. If you can achieve those two things, there is such breakthrough potential in every aspect of your life, not just of your presentation skills. And I'm sure you have touched on how if you are a confident presenter and able to walk in front of a room and speak to a group of people feeling completely calm about who you are and what you are there to share, there are miracles happening everywhere in your life, because it is actually the number one fear that people have above dying. Like it's the people would rather die than public speak. So if you can practice your ability to do that with comfort, it just ricochets everywhere in your life in the most positive ways.
Yeah, and doing that and recording your own voice and listening back to it in private, that's a really good way to practice that, because there's no one else around and you're not actually being vulnerable in front of anyone else. So I think it's really good practice to be vulnerable in front of yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely, but it is almost the hardest audience.
Yeah, this is true.
And one of the tools I use as a speaker, it's my experience that this is the most powerful practice, is to practice in the mirror. Now, there are some presentation coaches who will not recommend that. I do recommend that. I think it is by far the most powerful kind of practice I can do, because if I can stand myself looking at myself in the mirror, presenting to myself, speaking to myself, speaking to the person in the mirror like that's a real person, not like, oh my God, look at my hair, but getting past all of those concerns and all of that noise. Then when I'm in front of a room, I'm not thinking, how does my hair look? Oh, I wonder if I look like this. I wonder if I seem like that. I'm not thinking about myself. That's all gone, and I'm actually able to be with the people in the room. So the recording your voice is another version of that, being able to be with yourself, to be comfortable with yourself and accepting of the way you sound no matter what. It's not to be underestimated. I mean, I could write an entire book on that. In fact, I might.
Well, I hope you do. I would love to read it. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fascinating. So yeah, please do. And let me know. Let me know when you've done it.
I will be thanking you in the credits.
Awesome. Now, Karen, I've heard you speak and I've heard you share all sorts of wonderful stories. But one thing I was really fascinated to learn about was that you suffered from anxiety when you were younger. Would you be willing to share with us what that was like?
I can share the good, the bad, and the ugly about that. When I was at primary school, I started to sing on stage, and I think I was five when I sang in my first concert. My mum sewed my dress. That's what they did back then. And I had always sung around the house. We had a piano in the house. I was clearly musical because I wouldn't stop singing. And I sang in a concert, and I remember being absolutely terrified. And from there, I was asked to sing in Stedfords, in school concerts, and in competition, piano competitions to play. And any time I had to be on stage, I would get so anxious that the abdominal pains that I would have were so bad I would have to be at home from school. Like I couldn't stand up. I was in so much pain.
Wow.
And that would happen for a week or weeks at a time leading up to a big performance. And this is at the age of 7 or 8. You know, this is very little. And they would send me to the doctor for a round of, you know, for every test that they'd invented. And after every round of tests, the doctor would come out to my parents and say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your daughter. It's just nerves. So I was dealing with these really chronic nerves and anxiety, and it was very confusing. I didn't know why that was happening. I thought something was wrong with me, not medically wrong with me, just like I'm a bad person. There's something wrong with me from a child's perspective. But I knew that I was in love with singing and that I needed to perform. I felt totally called to do that and driven to do that. So it was confusing because it made me feel sick, and it did not really, I really didn't get a handle on anxiety, fully get a handle on it until I was in my 30s. So I suffered for a very long time.
So what steps did you take to overcome it?
As a child, I just was at the effect of it, and it didn't really matter how much more I performed, I still felt anxious. But I just kept powering through and doing it, and I didn't have a lot of tools at that point, not compared to now. I didn't even know what meditation was. I didn't know what yoga was. Wouldn't that have been a difference? But in my late 20s, when I was 30, actually, I made the decision I was going to move to New York City. And it became clear to me, I've got to get this handled. I have this problem. I get so anxious. And if I'm going to move to big, bad New York City, I've got to find a way to get this dealt with. And around that time, I was studying with a vocal teacher, an Australian singing teacher called Kerry Bedell. And she is just a masterful singer and teacher. And I learned that the value of 50 rehearsals equaled one performance. And what I took from that is, if I could perform as much as possible, and that's worth 50 rehearsals at a time, maybe I can get this handled, because I could reduce the lag time between when I knew I was going to be performing or on stage and actually being on stage, so there wasn't this room in between to get worried about it. So I thought, if I could always be performance ready and know that at a moment's notice I could be on stage, I wouldn't have any room to be anxious, because I would always be ready to be on stage. So what I did was, when I first moved to New York, I would say yes to any opportunity to perform. So I would perform for money, for no money, as a guest artist on somebody else's bill, with my own shows. And I was just, every other night, I was on stage. And that is partly how I got it handled, because I was able to always be performance ready. And I say this to people who are speaking or who want to be able to speak professionally or be in front of a room. I said, you just take every opportunity possible to be in front of a group. And this is not just in a professional capacity, but perhaps you belong to a community group and they need somebody to get up and say a few words. Perhaps you're at a family occasion, at somebody's birthday. You know, ding the glasses and get the attention and say a few words to honor the person in front of your family. Again, this can be a confronting thing to do. But if you can take that opportunity and leap into that and take the lead, it will make it so much easier because you will not have that same lag time and lead up of, oh my goodness, I'm going to speak in front of a group of people, but it will just become what you do and who you are.
That's perfect. That, you know, I really love how that advice of how we can apply that to different areas of our life and not necessarily having to be on stage, but looking for situations in which you're in front of a group to speak. Now, I like this could apply, you know, if you're in school, you know, even something as simple as raising your hand to ask a question or contributing to a discussion.
That's
and
right.
I went to a lecture the other week and it was a big lecture hall full of lots and lots of people. And at the end, they asked for questions. And I was actually really terrified because it's scary putting your hand up and asking a question in front of all these people. But I was like, no, I just want to do it. So I put my hand up and I asked a question and I was really nervous. My heart was pumping, even though I only, you know, said one sentence. But, you know, doing things like that, I think that's as you said, it's a really good way. Just take advantage of all of those opportunities to speak in front of a group, no matter how small or large, or if it's family, friends, just do it.
Absolutely. I've taken to, you know, in certain instances where I've been it's often in a pretty nice restaurant or with a big group. I will, like big group as in it's, I'm at a business or a friend's occasion where there might be a special occasion of some kind. And I have, you know, if the meal's been really beautiful, I've asked the waiter if they could bring the chef out for me to sing, and so that as a show of gratitude, and I will, you know, I will sing to thank the chef. And I mean, I couldn't have even begun to imagine having the confidence to do that when I was younger. That just would have freaked me out. And now I would have been thinking about myself and my fear. Now I'm thinking, how could I be of service? How could I use my gifts or my, you know, my abilities to honor somebody else? How could I make this night completely special and totally memorable for the people here with what I have to offer? And it's not about money. It's not about me, you know, having anything to do with that as a profession. It's really as a gesture of thanks.
Yeah.
And of course, the reaction almost every time is just total surprise and delight. And how wonderful to be able to do that. And people can do that with their words just as easily as they can with music. So, you know, there could be an occasion where you bring the chef out and actually stand and acknowledge the chef for the entire group and then have a round of applause or a bravo or whatever that might be. I mean, there are just creative ways that are pretty obvious once you know what they could be. Very easy and effortless to be a person who leads and acknowledges people and speaks in front of a group.
Wow. I love that. Just
that
creating those opportunities instead of waiting for them to come up.
Yeah. There's a speaker and a writer I just love called Dr. John DeMartini, and one of the things he says is the quality of your life is the quality of the questions you ask yourself. So if you're walking around thinking to yourself, how can I be able to speak in front of a group? What's the next opportunity to do that? It's amazing the ones that show up.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to put a link to Dr. John DeMartini in the show notes for your go to have a look at his work.
Excellent.
Now, Karen, we've got time for just one more question. And I'd like to ask you, what advice do you have for people? What can they do right before they are about to deliver a presentation or go into a high pressure environment like an important meeting or a job interview? What's something that they can do that's going to just help them calm their nerves and just reduce a bit of that anxiety that they may be feeling?
Okay, can I give two things?
Of course, I'm all about two things.
All about the two things. Okay. You've heard this before, and it's about breathing. And the reason you've heard this before is because it works. So it's all about your breath. If you're in a high pressure situation, or there's anxiety, or you are going to be in front of a room, there's a lot of adrenaline. Our bodies are brilliant, and they will just be preparing us for it. But there's a very slight difference physiologically between anxiety and excitement. Extremely small difference physiologically. So if you are feeling very heightened in an anxious way, you can trick your brain into believing it's excitement just by telling yourself, right, I am committed to being excited, not anxious. I'm excited. This is excitement. And it's almost like trying to talk your brain into it. But it's one tool that I would like to say I remember every time, but it's a really important one. And your being related to your breath with that is huge. So just actually taking some long breaths in and long breaths out. And if you are feeling really out of it and totally wired around this event, and it's very high pressure, the more deep long breaths you can force yourself to take, like really you might have to really be talking to yourself and going, okay, I don't want to do the breaths, but I'm going to do the breaths, and just take 10 really big deep breaths, and just to center yourself. The other tool that I would suggest is regarding a word. Now, I talk a lot about creating direction when I'm working one-on-one with a client or with a group. I will talk about finding an anchor word. And I love to suggest people find a word of the year or a direction of the year expressed as one word. And I would say doing this around a presentation is also a great way to go, because if you've got one word that you can keep coming back to in the back of your mind, or just before you walk out there, it's very centering compared to all the many sentences and thoughts that are going through your mind. So it might be to do with the material you're going to deliver, or it might be to do with the experience you want to leave the audience with. So you might want to inspire your audience, might want to educate your audience, you might want to thrill your audience, just whatever word that might be, to choose that word and say it's inspire. Just to be thinking about that word inspire. Okay, I'm going to inspire. I'm here to inspire. And make sure that word is about the experience your audience is having, not the experience you want to have. Like choosing the word calm because you want to feel calm is probably not as effective as, okay, I'm here to inspire. Because when we get out of our own head, that's when we can really deliver effectively. If you are thinking about yourself, and your speech and your lines and your words and yourself, you are not actually there thinking about the point, which is how do I make sure the people in the room are served with my message? So, yeah, I find I'm only ever nervous when I'm thinking about myself. And if I'm clearly thinking about what I'm delivering to the people in the room, my nerves go away.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Karen, for sharing that. That's amazing. That's something I hadn't considered before, that just the thinking of the one word. I mean, you're right. I had heard of the breathing thing, and I know breathing, taking long, slow breaths works. I had not heard of that thinking of one word and what I want this presentation to result in. So that's really awesome.
My pleasure.
Well, we have come to the end of the interview, unfortunately, Karen. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and what you do?
I love it when people want to find me online and connect. It's great. It's the best fun. I feel so, great about this era we're in, to be able to feel so connected and be so connected. People can connect with me on Twitter. I'm at the GPS girl. On Facebook, come, be a part of my community. It's facebook.com/thegpsgirl. And my website, thegpsgirl.com. Have I mentioned all the big ones?
I think if we just Googled GPS girl, you'll come up, right?
I do. I come up.
Okay. All right.
I am very happy to hear from people and and to connect. And do you mainly have an audience in Australia or all around the place?
Well, they're all around the world. So
Wonderful.
I think mostly in Australia. I'm getting a bigger audience in the States, and but I do know I have listeners from all over the world. So everyone, so I'll put a link to all of those places where you can get in touch with Karen in the show notes. It will be designyourspeak.com/024. Thank you so much, Karen, for being a guest on the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure. You've been so wonderful and you've shared lots and lots of really brilliant stuff. So I really appreciate you.
My pleasure. You have reached your destination.
Yes, I love it. Isn't she inspiring? Thanks again to Karen Jacobson from thegpsgirl.com for being my very special guest this week. Now, I'd like you to think about what Karen was saying about being performance ready. And this is going to be your challenge for the week. So being performance ready. It doesn't have to be in a professional context, just as Karen was saying. So next time you're out for dinner with your friends, do a little clink of your glasses, get their attention, and just tell them how much you appreciate them, how much you've enjoyed the evening and that you've really loved being able to get together and that you're so grateful for them. You know, you don't have to bring out the chef and thank the chef or whatever. You don't have to sing like Karen does. But, you know, just say a few words. It can only be, you know, a couple of sentences. And this is like a little mini performance that you're giving. So if you can get used to just sort of spontaneously just standing up and giving these mini performances, that's really going to help build your confidence to when you start doing sort of these like bigger performances, like actually giving a presentation or going into an interview or something like that. So that is your challenge of the week. Now, if you do have a presentation coming up and you are feeling a bit nervous about it, I actually have a free download which may be able to help you. It's a presentation checklist. So it's a list of all the things that I do before every presentation that I give. And it goes through what I do sort of 2 weeks before the presentation, 1 week before the presentation, up till the day before, and then on the day. And I know that if I make sure that I do each of these things on that list, it really, really helps to just calm my nerves and it just makes me feel so much more prepared. So if that sounds like something that would be of value to you, just go to designdrawspeak.com to download that free presentation checklist. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. You are a total rock star and I appreciate you so, so much. Keep on being awesome and I will see you next week for another episode. This has been Presentation Skills for Design Students, helping you become a confident, creative communicator.